Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
President Obama is under fire for defending the mosque at Ground Zero. Two men get stabby on the PSU campus, and zebras headed for Oregon get loose on the road.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
I'm Don Taylor. This is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, August 16th, 2010. And before we get started, we have had a request to jack up the volume a bit from our powers that be.
All right, hold on a second. See what I can do. I'll take it under advisement.
Thank you. Police arrested a suspect after a Saturday night stabbing on the campus of Portland State University. Sometime after he was stabbed and taken to a local hospital, police got a report that a man fitting the suspect's description was seen at Southwest Park Avenue. Upon arrival, officers took 24-year-old Heath Avery into custody. After investigators interviewed Avery, they arrested him and charged him with assault. Detectives say the apparent stabbing was the result of a fight between the victim and Avery, who also suffered some minor injuries in the altercation.
Let me understand this. The stabbing was a result of some sort of altercation or disagreement?
Yes.
That doesn't even seem possible. It seems like you're defying the laws of probability. You're blowing my mind!
It wasn't a love stabbing.
Oh, I see.
Is what they're saying. This wasn't...
It wasn't a Jamaican stabbing.
Is that daggering.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
He faces his first courtroom appearance this week in Multnomah County Court. The victim's wounds were serious, but not life-threatening. A pair of zebras on the way to Oregon got loose in traffic on a busy California road, and it took hours to capture them. The zebras were getting loaded into a horse trailer when two dogs apparently spooked them and sent them running. Much of the scramble was caught on camera. Authorities said the zebras darted in and out of traffic, and one of them was hit by a car but continued to run. Both were eventually caught, and the animal that was struck by the car was checked over by a veterinarian and given a clear bill of health. These zebras were sent back on their way to a ranch in Bly, Oregon. President Barack Obama has come under fire for his defense on Friday of a developer's right to build a mosque on a few blocks from Ground Zero in New York. Republicans said Mr. Obama was out of step with America on the problem. Democratic Governor Ed Rendell of Pennsylvania said on the CBS program Face the Nation that the Islamic Center issue shouldn't have political resonance.
This is a mosque.
Mosque one, yes.
All right, let's see if we can...
I can't imagine that any American, given the challenges facing this country, is going to vote based on what he said about the mosque. The mosque is an unfortunate situation, but we do have a right to practice our religion freely wherever we choose. Rights are not subject to popular vote or majority vote.
Well, that's crazy talk is what that is. That sounds a little bit like socialism, Don.
Is that Governor Ed Rendell intimating that he himself is a Muslim?
I believe so. Look, if you can be a Muslim, Don, anyone can be a Muslim.
Right.
It's a free country. Let's listen again, shall we?
I can't imagine that any American, given the challenges facing this country, is going to vote based on what he said about the mosque. The mosque is an unfortunate situation, but we do have a right to practice our religion freely wherever we choose. Rights are not subject to popular vote or majority vote.
I would note that he's wrong and that there are people who would vote precisely on that issue, except those people are already voting for whoever the other guy is, for whoever's not Obama.
And I don't think he was implying that he himself is a Muslim. He was talking about us in the general global as Americans sense that we have the right to.
He's talking about theoretical Muslims.
Right.
Not to be confused with a detachable penis.
This would be the 13-story Islamic Community Center and Mosque that is a developer announced plans to build about two blocks from the former World Trade Center site. Prominent Republican politicians and a host of conservative pundits have attacked the project. At a White House dinner celebrating Ramadan on Friday. Because it's Ramadan.
Stop it. Stop it. Damn you. Damn you.
Mr. Obama vigorously defended the developer's right to put the mosque there in accordance with local laws and ordinances.
And in accordance with prophecy.
He said Muslims, quote, have the same right to practice their religion as anyone else in this country, unquote. GOP strategist and CNN senior political contributor Ed Rollins appeared on CBS Face the Nation, and he said that what the president said was absurd.
The dumbest thing that any president has said or candidate has said since Michael Dukakis said it was okay to burn the flag. And it was very similar. This is an emotional issue. Intellectually, the president may be right, but this is an emotional issue.
I dig Ed Rollins. He's he wrote a fantastic book. If you want to read a really wonderful book about the way that politics actually function in America. I mean, not in terms of like ideology or what you believe or what you might think is right or moral or just or virtuous or, you know, appropriate. Doesn't really matter. If you want to know how elections actually function and how campaigns are won, it's a fantastic book by Ed Rollins called Bare Knuckles and Back Rooms, where he talks about because he ran such campaigns as Michael Huffington's campaign in California, which was just which was hilarious and disastrous. So he just saw that guy go through like $900 skillion. He also was the campaign manager for Ross Perot in Perot's 92. Well, he's twice aborted run for the presidency in 1992. And he's one of those guys like Pat Buchanan that, I mean, you almost get the sense that he kind of positions himself as a conservative, but I think that's just because that's who writes most of his checks. You get the feeling he probably could give a rat's ass who wins any election ever, anywhere. But he is very much a realist about these things. So if you ever get a chance to watch him on CNN, I dig him.
Yeah, his actual comments on Face the Nation were not really that what the president said was absurd because he disagreed with.
No, it's just that it's the sort of thing that your opponent wants you to do because they'll just hang you with it when election time comes.
Yeah,
because
he continued and said, you know, it's an emotional issue. People who have lost kids, brothers, sisters, fathers, what have you, do not want that mosque in New York. And it's going to be a big, big issue for Democrats in the country. And he went on to say, every candidate who's in the challenge districts are going to be asked, how do you feel about building the mosque on the Ground Zero sites?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like if the guys running against you don't have anything on which to campaign, you don't hand them something on which to campaign. You don't hand them a platform. So that's what that guy's saying. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Don't forget, this program is available via iTunes as well, also at legionofnews.com and in archived form right here and on your mobile device as well. You can get that on your handheld, your smartphone, your what have you. It's mobile. That is MOBILE at PDXFM. What have I done? I've just mangled the whole thing. At PDX.FM. Mobile at PDX.FM. This is Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
Kyron Horman's Wall of Hope Memorial at Skyline School will be moving before the start of classes.
This is where I hope the story becomes more interesting?
Yes.
This is where I hope?
Where you hope the story is more interesting, and your hopes will probably be dashed.
Okay.
According to the family, some parents have expressed concern about the memorial being up when the school year starts, especially its emotional impact on students. Kyron's memory and the need to remind people that he is still missing is important, according to the family, but so is the need to do everything possible to make the start of school as normal for the students going there. There's also a concern that an ongoing presence of strangers coming to the wall to to leave death memorials and teddy bears and ribbons might also fuel safety fears in the students.
I'm sorry, it was wrong of me to laugh at that.
Except, no, it's not.
There is something sort of perversely amusing about the idea that someone who may or may not have been taken by persons unknown. Well, he was taken by persons unknown. We don't know if he was taken by a stranger as such. That's not for me to determine. But the memorial for him is just drawing dozens and dozens and at any given moment, probably. There's, there's 500 guys just walking over there with a Mylar balloon for the angels.
Yeah, it is always appropriate to laugh at people leaving balloons and teddy bears pinned to chain link fences.
Is there some sort of group that comes by and picks those things up and then goes and gives them to actual, living children?
That would be nice.
I mean,
that would be swell.
Because, you know, that at least there's something that, you know, is done with that,
right.
As opposed to just becoming sort of a fetid eyesore by the side of the road. You know, but it's like every time some, you know, every time somebody gets killed by the side of the road, or there's some bicyclist gets run into somewhere, you know, there's just a gigantic mound of things from a Spencer's Gifts or a Hallmark,
and this
or
is
both.
A fairly new phenomenon, because I don't remember ever seeing that as a child or even as a teenager. This has just been something, I think, that's started happening in the last 15 or 20 years.
I may be wrong about this. This is just my experience. In my experience, this is what I would term a post-Ashley Pond and Miranda Gaddis phenomenon. And that was actually the first time phenomenon. Thank you. It's the first time that I...
slow on the uptake there.
That I remember that happening. And that was here, right? Miranda Pond and Ashley?
Yeah.
Ashley Pond, Miranda Gaddis?
Oh, yeah. I was working at the Clackamas Review in Oregon City News when that happened, and that happened in our Felony Flats-esque area of Oregon City.
And that's Ward Weaver, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I lived in Utah immediately followed by here, and they're both just cities full of crazy people in that way. There's always some kind of freaky sort of Hetfield-looking guy and a bad mustache. Or you get the feeling has a bunch of, like, a bunch of, like, stained hustlers and a bunch of knives sitting underneath his bed at home. Anyway, but this was the first time that I remember really just seeing people coming by and just like by the platoon.
Yeah.
And what have you got? Well, I've got a tender heart care bear that I brought by to leave here at the fence. Why? Well, and then it just sort of trails off, and then they say something about blah 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 memory, blah 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 freedom, blah blah blah.
Yeah. The most interesting thing about that particular situation was. That at any given time, there would be teenage girls hanging around who'd gone to school with those two girls, basically hoping that a news crew would be there so that they could weep and get on camera.
This is such a cynical worldview you have, Don Taylor. Rick Emerson would never say anything like that.
Well, I was working at a newspaper in that town, and I was covering it day in and day out, and believe me, that you saw that. These girls sitting around, gossiping, you know, talking about how cute their pants were, and then, Lisa Ling with the Channel 7
I forgot all
Action
about her.
News, or whoever comes up, and all of a sudden it's like, they were such great girls at work. We miss them so much. And it's like, I'll bet you hated them. I'll bet you never talked to them ever.
Good reference with the Lisa Ling.
Thank you.
I was just going to make the observation that, not to be crass about this, is Lisa Ling's the Family Guy chick, right? Or is she a real person?
Lisa Ling's a real person. She was one of the first on The View.
Is Lisa Ling a real person today on Legion of News?
No, she was on initial outing of the news of the View, and her sister's a journalist
It was the kidnapped.
Kidnapped.
Okay, see, because now it was that thing where I thought you were making a sort of a backhanded. I thought you were making a Portland reference that became a View thing. But then in the back of my head, somebody went, no, you're conflating her with the Family Guy chick. Who is the reportress on Family Guy that I'm confusing with Lisa Ling?
Yeah, or there's a Asian reporter, whatever her name is.
You know,
is.
But it's it's like Connie Tong
Lisa
or whatever.
Yamagata.
Okay, well, never mind. But she's the View chick, and then her sister got snatched somewhere.
Right. I was trying to think of the name of the local Portland news chick who was covering that story at the time and who burst into tears herself and had to deal with a bunch of backlash for that. And
Was that not Lisa Ling?
Well, no, Lisa Ling's a national person.
I
don't know if Lisa Ling had anything to do with
No. But see, now you're totally confusing me, because wasn't there somebody sort of not, maybe not on The View, but somebody sort of loosely associated with that show that did come from Portland?
That I don't know.
Here's the thing.
Wow, we have gotten so off track here.
Yeah, but can I just confess something? Local TV news means like dick to me most of the time, you know? It's like zero, almost less than nothing. Really? Unless it's somebody who I personally...
Anna Wang. She was the local, I don't know.
Could we be more white? Are you just making that up,
somebody
sir, madam?
Said Anna Wang,
and
I
we just repeated it.
Yeah, that just repeated it.
Hey, dude, get in here.
Wang.
I'm going to make Dawn say Wang on the air. It'll be awesome.
It worked.
There's some guy firing up a graphics bong and just typing things that end in ing.
Song. Is that her
Anna
name?
Anna Song. Anna Song.
There
that is her
go.
Name. Well done.
Anna Wang. Thank you, guy. At least it reminded me
of
what her
name... Yeah, Wang's a crazy name. Who would be named that?
It reminded me what her name actually was.
Anna Song.
And she was the one who, like, was
she just
turned
on the waterworks.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, in any event. What are we talking about now?
I don't know. We should talk about our great grant proposal, though, right now.
I thought that was 90 seconds from now.
No, let's do it now.
All right. I'm just saying... Okay, but just back up for one second. Lisa Ling, View... sister kidnapped. Anna Song, Portland reporter, covered the Ashley Pond and Miranda Geddes story, and then it blubbered on camera.
Right. Anna Wang, just a joke to make me say Wang.
Anna Wang, other Asian chick.
Yeah. All right, there we go. Are we the end of this particular road of conversation?
I think we've closed that out nicely, yes.
Jesus, God almighty.
Asian reporter Tricia Takanawa.
How did I confuse her with Lisa Ling? Well, they all sound the same, apparently, to me. So there you go. All right. Ling, Takanawa, you know. If you kind of squint your ears a little bit, it's just a wash of, you know,
an hour later, they all sound alike. No, wait.
That doesn't work.
No.
No, see?
I was conflating two racist stereotypes, no, see, the, so it didn't work.
You're confusing your broad ethnic generalizations, Don Taylor. I won't have it. All right, well, in any event, you are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Don't forget, coming up today at 1 o'clock at RickEmerson.com is the Rick Emerson radio program. Today we're going to be talking to Mr. Ryan White, music editor from The Oregonian. He will also be bringing a top five with him. I believe he is bringing his top five brooding songs. But I'm not entirely sure about that. And here's the reason I'm not entirely sure is because last week, he had brought a top five that was sort of bumped by yours. We didn't get a chance. We were going to do both of them. We get a chance to do both of them. We ended up doing just yours. He has got postponed. He'll be doing it today.
Yeah.
But because it's been postponed, it's like so far back in the haze of my memory. I mean, it's like more than it happened like farther ago than like this morning. So I don't remember anything about it. So I believe it's his top five songs to which he sulked or brooded or was morose as a teenager.
But that could be completely incorrect.
I could just be making that up. That could be the Anna Wang of top five themes. It could not even exist. So that's coming up today. We've got it claims over here on the board to my right that we've got a celebrity. It just says
no,
celebrity penis job.
That was celebrity penis job was last week.
Celebrity penis job is when we're covering Christian Jorgensen. So we'll be doing a series of watches. We got those coming up today. We have another installment of the Week in Geek with Aaron Duran. And if you were in the studio right now, or if you had some sort of a way to view what was going on, you just see Dawn scrabbling around like a hamster on a glass floor.
We have a corpse watch and a taser watch.
Corpse watch and taser watch. All of that stuff is coming up today in the Rick Emerson Show at rickemerson.com. But if you've said to yourself, or perhaps at me via the radio, my God, Rick Emerson, this all sounds so fantastic. But what am I, the humble non-subscriber, to do? How is it that I am to partake of this buffet of entertainment, this unbelievable panoply of amusements that you have assembled for me? And my first response would be, well, you got a wallet right there, and God didn't give you a job just so you could put food on your family. But if you say no, I just but you don't understand, the mill has closed. There's no more work. I'm effectively living in a Maytag box. Yet I still wish to laugh. Laugh. How shall I do that? We are proud to tell you that the answer will be given to you, not even really by us. It's actually another listener who has stepped forward and via Legion of News is going to be making it possible. A guy named Michael Kaiser, and I hope I'm sort of pronouncing that correctly. There isn't sort of an implied umlaut there. But a Rick Emerson listener has stepped forward, and he has made it possible for you. Yes, you. May not in fact be you. To win 30 days of worth its weight in tungsten entertainment. And these are the Rick Emerson Grants. A Rick Emerson Grant is something that gives you 1 month's access to the Rick Emerson radio program and all the amusement and varieties that entails. It's honestly just this simple, friends. What you need to do is you send us a YouTube video of you. It is you of no more than 2 minutes in length. You in front of a camera, in front of a backdrop of your choosing, perhaps a series of animated charcoal sketches, aha style. But a YouTube
puppets.
Video of no more puppets, sure. Something pornographic, perhaps. I have no such strictures or limitations.
I thought we were going to ask them to not swear.
No profanity. No profanity.
But like penises and things are okay?
Boobs ahoy is what I say. Here's what you do. You send a YouTube video of no more than 2 minutes of length of you describing why you or perhaps someone you know ought to receive a one-month grant to the Rick Emerson radio program. You send that to video@rickemerson.com. Don't send us the raw file. You just send us a link. If you try to send us the raw file, it's just going to go into my spam thing, and you're going to feel like a jackass because I'll never see your genius. So you make a video of no more than 2 minutes in length. You stick it on the YouTube. You send us the link, and you send that to video@rickemerson.com. That is video@rickemerson.com.
a link to a YouTube video no more than 2 minutes in length of you explaining why you or somebody you know ought to become a Rick Emerson subscriber. And courtesy of Michael Kaiser and his business, New Millennium Landscape and Maintenance, who can make your place look fantastic. They can make the outside look just as good as, let's say, the cleaning solution might make the inside look. You can reach him at New Mill Maint, that is N-E-W-M-I-L-L-M-A-I-N-T, at gmail.com. That's New Mill Maint, as in New Mill Maintenance. New Mill Maint, which is going to be my... it's going to be my logon name now whenever I go on to Prodigy. At gmail.com. I'll have all this posted at rickemerson.com here in just a bit. But you send a video of no more than 2 minutes in length to video at rickemerson.com explaining why you or somebody you know ought to receive a grant to listen to the Rick Emerson program for 1 month. And that may be headed your way. We're going to be giving away 10 of those over the course of the month. So you just be listening for that. This is Dawn Taylor at Legion of News News Desk.
Thousands of Roman Catholic pilgrims were evacuated from the Sanctuary of Lourdes in France after a bomb scare which turned out to be a hoax. The threat came as 30,000 worshippers gathered for the annual Feast of the Assumption, one of the pilgrimage site's busiest days of the year. Police gave the all clear for the site to reopen after a search by bomb disposal teams with sniffer dogs. More than 6 million believers visit the sanctuary each year. It's famous for what many Roman Catholics believe was a vision of the Virgin Mary by a local girl in 1858, and it houses the shrine or grotto of to Our Lady of Lourdes. On August 15th, believers celebrate the Virgin Mary's ascent to heaven. A church spokesman told French news agency AFP that a telephoned warning had been received by police announcing that four bombs were going to go off. He said the evacuation just before midday mass had taken place calmly. No explosions were heard, but bomb disposal teams could still be seen at key buildings and areas.
Here's the thing, and I was incarcerated in a Catholic school for 9 years, and I don't remember anything in the Bible about Mary ascending into heaven. Were you didn't grow up Catholic though, did you?
No, I grew up in a family of lapsed Catholics, so
yeah.
It was like I had to go to the weddings and the funerals, and I heard all of the stories about Catholic school, but I didn't have to go myself.
Yeah, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there was maybe it was covered on like a day that I was homesick or whatever. But to the best of my knowledge, there is in fact no just like the Bible never says that goddamn Mary Magdalene was a whore. It's just that's just become a thing people say because some guy told them that the Bible said that. I don't think the Bible actually says that Mary ascended into heaven. I think that's just, I think that might be like on the extended cut or something to which I was not privy. That's on the director's version of the Bible that I didn't get to see. Oh, well, you know, whatever. Who am I to ruin a good nutcase party? Here's Dawn Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
Speaking of nutcases, Washington County Sheriff's deputies have arrested an Aloha man on suspicion of detonating 5 dry ice bombs. A resident called 911 Saturday afternoon to report a woman screaming and loud noises on Southwest Alexander Street in Aloha. Deputies who arrived heard a loud explosion near the home and closed off the street for about 4 hours while they investigated. The sheriff's office said the explosions were traced to a house where they found a man had used dry ice and soda bottles to make and detonate bombs. Deputies said 59-year-old Douglas Keener was arrested for investigation of 5 counts of unlawfully possessing a destructive device, 5 counts of unlawful manufacture of a destructive device, and 4 counts of disorderly conduct. Investigators weren't able to determine who was screaming.
I'm sorry?
They were called because a resident, somebody called to report a woman screaming and loud noises.
But I mean...
So they got there and they found the guy with the bombs, but they were never able to figure out who.
How were they not able to? Well, I guess they must. I was going to ask if they sort of inquired of everybody, like, "Hey, were you the one who screamed?" But maybe the screamer was gone.
And Douglas Kaner, 59-year-old Douglas Kaner, who was arrested, here's his mugshot. He looks smug.
Oh, the guy on top. Oh, he won't be so smug once he gets raped. They'll rape that smugness right out of him. I'm not saying he's going to be convicted of anything. I'm just saying, theoretically speaking, in some alternate reality where, in fact, he is, because he's only been accused. And I'm sure a guy in Aloha didn't have anything to do with detonating anything explosive. That doesn't sound like at all like a family pastime handed down from generation to generation in the Aloha area. But should it turn out through some miscarriage of justice that he is, in fact, convicted of just being a cretin, and gets sent to prison. Yeah, he won't be so smug after 2 or 3 days in there. This guy in the bottom, though, is the one who interests me. This is a guy...
That's the stabby guy.
This is... Is this I didn't know this was the stabber. This is a, clearly the guy on whom Joaquin Phoenix based his look over the last 18 months or so.
Yeah.
This is the reality of that right there.
Yeah.
Right.
That, there's a point at which beards are just too much.
No,
really.
You either got to have the nicely trimmed close cropped beard, or you got to get the full Mennonite. You know, the full Hasid beard, you know, like way down to like your midsection, the Karl Marx. Because in the middle there, you just look like a guy who probably works behind the counter at sort of like an off-brand Quick Mart, you know what I mean? Like not a Plaid Pantry, not a 7-Eleven, you know, but like one of those like Tidy J or something. And it's just, you know, where it's a conflation of just grime and year-old Lucky Charms on the shelf.
Well, when our friend Big Jim Willig was on the Vic Emerson show last week, he has a beard now. And he said that he had grown the beard. He had kept the beard, even though it was really hot and he didn't want to keep it, because he was doing the stand-up act. He was going to be opening for Gilbert Gottfried. And he has a bit in his act about having a beard. And it's about, like, basically the length of your beard is an indication of how long you've been unemployed. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the longer it is, the more, you know, sort of failure and sadness.
So it was just sort of a prop beard.
Yeah, but now then, you know, the Gilbert Gottfried thing fell through, so now I guess he can shave.
Yeah, but don't you see the irony there? Is that now he's able to actually shave the beard because he doesn't have the gig.
I know.
He had
the beard so he could say it was about being unemployed.
As he was standing on stage, for which he was going to be paid.
Oh, irony.
Mobius. All right, here's Don Taylor.
It'll be a shorter week for many state employees in Oregon. State officials are already reminding Oregonians that another government shutdown day is approaching on Friday, closing most state agencies. About 26,500 state workers will take an unpaid furlough day as part of an effort to balance the budget. It's one of 10 scheduled Friday government closures between 2009 and 2011. The first two furlough days are September 17th and November 26th. The designated closure days will not affect Oregon universities, state courts, or the legislative branch of government. For a complete list of what state agencies will be closed or open on Friday, visit oregon.gov.
And somebody, by the way, has just sent me an email where they say, "Well done, Rick Emerson. I'm having my girlfriend take off her top right now." Here's the thing. Let me just back up for a second. While I'm not going to discourage you from doing that, this is not in relation to the story that Don just read.
The video.
This is because I said that thing about boobs ahoy. This has nothing to do with state employees, as far as I know.
Which is my stripper name, by the way.
Boobs ahoy?
Yeah.
This is in relation to the, I knew I was going to regret saying this, or not, as the case may be. This is because we were just talking about the Rick Emerson grant. We should actually note, because these are going to end up being played on the show and possibly posted on the website, depending on the, you know, on you know, how good they are, you know, whatever, and if there's sort of there's a much greater chance that it's going to get played and it's going to get put on the website if it is free of profanity and anything objectionable. So please do keep them family friendly, at least within the boundaries of this program.
And someone has popped up on the text box a couple of minutes ago and asked if they could post their video on MySpace and send us the link.
No. No, you cannot. Well, because isn't it the deal with MySpace that, like, depending on how the account, and people never know what their goddamn account settings are on MySpace either. How many times did you get this where somebody, I'm trying to get a hold of you, send me a message, and then, they will message you on MySpace. This is why I don't use MySpace anymore. Where somebody would message you, and they'd be like, "Hey, get back to me about that thing." And then you go to message them, but you can't because their profile is private. You know, and so you can't send them a message or whatever, because some people, you know, the settings on MySpace can be set to where you can only receive messages from friends. And so I've had this thing where people will say, "Get in touch with me about whatever." And then I go to their MySpace thing and it's private. But of course, I can't message them to tell me to add them so I can message them, because I can't message them because it's private, because I can't message them because it's private. And then it's just like, and then I fall into like Lewis Carroll's head. So don't send me anything on MySpace, because if you do that, I'm going to terminate it, and I'm going to say a little curse, and I'm going to hope that one of your feet falls off.
It's just kind of my immediate reaction to that is basically it's the same as to me as someone saying, "Hey, this thing you want me to provide, instead of leaving it on this nice busy street corner where thousands of people can come by and see it, I'd rather just leave it in this dingy back alley that no one visits anymore.
Can I just leave it in my pants and put the pants inside a dumpster and put the dumpster on the moon?" No. So here's Here's the thing. So somebody else has actually asked, and this is, they're doing all our work for us. Somebody has asked, are current subscribers eligible? Here's the thing about that. So with the Rick Emerson Grant, about which we're going to be talking more a little bit each day, and that is brought to you by our good friend Michael Kaiser and his business New Millennium Landscape and Maintenance. It is a video no more than 2 minutes in length on YouTube of you describing why you or someone you know ought to receive a one-month grant to become a Rick Emerson listener. And the thing about that is, if you're currently not a subscriber to The Rick Emerson Show, by God, you film it, you yourself might win. If you are currently a subscriber, you can go ahead and film one, but it's got to be for somebody else. It's got to be for, like, your friend Ted, you know, who's a deadbeat or broke or who's just never heard the show.
My mom should be listening to The Rick Emerson Show, and here's why.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
Not that, though, because your mom really shouldn't be listening to The Rick Emerson Show.
It depends on the mom.
I suppose.
My mother-in-law listens.
Does she?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so that's how you do that. And we'll put up all the rules, regulations, details, et cetera, at rickemerson.com later on today. You are listening to Legion of News at pdx.fm. It's also available via iTunes and on your mobile device at mobile.pdx.fm. This is Don Taylor.
Let's do a little science news.
It's time for Science on the March. It is Monday right here, Legion of News at pdx.fm. Here's your science news.
Research has shown that bacteria, among the simplest forms of life on Earth, have a sense of smell. Scientists from Newcastle University in the UK have demonstrated that a bacterium commonly found in soil can sniff and react to ammonia in the air. It was previously thought that this olfaction was limited to more complex forms of life, known as... I'm not even going to say what it is, because I can't pronounce this.
But, you know, you could just make a word up there and nobody would know the difference.
Framus gadgets.
There you go.
The finding, published in Biotechnology Journal, means that bacteria have four of the five senses that humans enjoy. This discovery also has implications in the understanding and control of biofilms, the chemical coatings that bacteria can form on.
Wait, let's back up for a second. They have four of the five senses humans have.
Yes.
Okay, so they don't have, don't tell me, they don't have vision. It doesn't specify, does it?
That's not true. They've demonstrated an ability to react to light, which is an analogy to sight.
Okay, so bacteria can't, wait, what are the, they can't hear.
I think that's probably it, yes. Because they also can change the genes that they express when confronted with certain materials, and so that's analogous to touch. However, there is a distinction between an organism reacting to a chemical it encounters directly, which would be analogous to a sense of taste, and a reaction to a chemical that is floating around in the air. So the difference is both in the mechanism that it does the sensing as well in the compounds that are sensed. Bacteria knows to use their senses to detect chemicals to indicate the presence of other bacteria or competitors for food. In some cases, they can produce a slimy material that causes them to stick together in what is known as biofilm. Such biofilms can cause complications in cases ranging from implants to oil pipelines, but a familiar example is the plaque that forms on teeth.
Here's a question. What is it that causes the skin when you're making a pudding? Okay. Science on the March continues with Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
Having a good relationship with Dad during childhood appears to help men deal with daily stress later in life. That's the finding of a study from California State University Fullerton. Lead author Melanie Mallers says they also found men who report poor relationships with Dad growing up also had an effect.
Their relationship with their father was poor as defined by low affection, low involvement, low support. They seem to have poor mechanisms for coping with stress later in life. It seems to have long-term implications for how they function on a day-to-day level.
I don't know. Maybe she's a real scientist. Maybe she's not. She doesn't sound like one, though. I instinctively distrust her because of that voice.
Mallers said there are some things an adult man could do to improve coping skills not learned in early years.
Either through the current adult intimate bonds that they have, but also through their relationships with their children. They can repair. People are very resilient. And by having healthy relationships now, you can learn to cope better.
All right. It's like hearing Debbie Gibson talk to me about nuclear fusion. You are listening to Legion of News right here at pdx.fm. This is Don Taylor.
Some of the cattle cloned to boost food production in the U.S. have been created from the cells of dead animals, according to a U.S. cloning company. Farmers say it is being done because it is only possible to tell that the animal's meat is of exceptionally high quality by inspecting its carcass. U.S. scientists are using a variety of techniques to assess which animals have exceptional qualities. These attributes include meat quality, productivity, or longevity. The notion behind what we are doing is to find that animal created which animal created that great steak. And once we have it, we want to reproduce it.
That's fantastic. I like the idea that it's actually not... Here's the thing, I swear to Christ, I don't know if I'm being ironic or not there. Because it's not like to repopulate, the Earth with an animal that it's being driven to the point of extinction or something. It's not to, aid with, the greater sort of consumption and recycling of grassy materials. It's not to work toward a cure for cancer. It's because there's a great ass steak, and we want as many of those steaks as we possibly can have, and so we are going to clone the animal that gave us that steak. That is awesome.
The aim of livestock cloning is to clone the best animals to produce the best beef.
No, I've come around. I'm not being ironic at all. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
But some cattle farmers believe it is impossible to pick the best quality animals until their meat has been properly analyzed.
Oh, well, isn't that handy?
That's why there are cloned bulls here that have been produced from the cells taken from the carcasses of dead animals. Brady Hicks of the J.R. Simplot Company in Idaho said his organization was among many that have tried out the technique successfully. The animals are hanging on a rail right now, ready to go to the meat counter, he said.
No, that's fantabulous. Rick Emerson likes this. I'm all for that. That is just like one shade removed, one and a half shades at most, from that Douglas Adams thing in the restaurant at the end of the universe, where I don't know when the last time you read that book was, but there's this sequence in the restaurant at the end of the universe, which is the follow-up to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where Ford, Arthur, Zaphod and Trillian are all at this restaurant, which is enclosed in a force field, and it kind of is right outside like a black hole sort of a thing. It doesn't really matter. The point is that they're at this really, really plush upscale restaurant that's almost impossible to get into. And one of the highlights of the restaurant is that they serve steaks that are made from a cow that wants to be eaten. And so when they would go there, Arthur's sitting at his table, and the cow can talk. And the cow walks over and is trying to convince Arthur to pick which section of him, the cow. Sir, would you like a steak of me, perhaps? Or perhaps I've been force-feeding myself grass all year. My midsection is very tender, sir. And then it just walks off to the kitchen and then it comes back on a plate about 40 minutes later. That's really what we need to breed. And then there will be no more war or famine.
Well, they're also making great strides in creating lab-grown meat, where basically you're...
Someone's been watching Better Off Ted.
But they're really making it. They are really working on it. One of the biggest problems with it, though, is that, understandably, they think that people... It's going to be a hard sell. That if they can actually create lab-grown meat that doesn't involve actually growing or killing animals, it'd be way more environmentally sound. But if they can make it taste exactly like thing, the problem is selling it to people thinking it's creepy and not wanting to buy it.
Well, it is creepy, but so is everything.
But how is that creepier than actually like breeding and growing animals? And because the thing is, because really the whole process of making new animals so we can kill them and eat them is kind of creepy.
See, this is how my mind works. I was going to say it's not actually the slaughterhouse part of it that I find creepy. I was just going to say that life in general is sort of creepy. I mean, when you think about it. I mean, really, I'm not trying to be, like five or whatever, but when you think about the whole, not even the reproductive process, but just, the whole thing about... growing a baby inside yourself, and then it kind of squirts out or whatever, and then it's tiny, but then it suddenly becomes huge. Life is just effing weird. I know I sound like an insane clown posse video right now, but I mean magnets.
What's with them?
But it's just the world is just full of effed up stuff. I mean, it's just the life is incredibly bizarre. So. The whole slaughterhouse thing. The only thing that is creepy about the breeding, growing, killing, and eating of animals is the fact that we've turned it into like a sort of Henry Ford kind of a thing. You know what I mean? That we've just kind of mechanized the entire process, which is, on the one hand, I guess, kind of creepy. Sort of like it's creepy in season one of Buffy, how the Master has that whole assembly line thing put together where he's just got all the kids of Sunnydale going on like a little... They're going like on like a conveyor belt, and it's like those like big metal straws are going into them, draining them. That's kind of what I think of. But other than that, if other animals could do this, they would. Mm. Goddamn crows, for example. If crows could create some sort of mechanized device to kill all humans, that would have been done like yesterday. And they're working on it. Don't you believe you me? Crows. the enemy.
Yeah, if crows ever, like, bonded with squirrels and they worked together, we'd be just doomed.
Did you see that creepy video that's going around? And it's clearly real, by the way. It's not like it's something that, you know, they made to, like, you know, tease Cloverfield 9 or something.
Oh, with the crow getting the thing out of the...
With the crow making a tool.
Yeah.
Not just using a tool, actually making a tool, fashioning a tool out of raw material, and then using it to catch and eat something. I don't think it takes too much mental candle power to sort of see where that road leads. I'm just saying. So there you go. Also, I like the idea that there's some guy somewhere who's working at a meat lab. You know? Just because that's sort of great. You know, where do you work? Meat lab? I'm five. So, I don't know whether I'd eat meat from a lab or not. Maybe. Maybe not. Here's the thing about that. This is another one of those things,
though. If it comes wrapped in plastic in the supermarket and looks exactly like the other meat, and you tried it and it tasted the same, it wouldn't take long for you to just go, lab meat.
Yeah, I mean, I guess...
Especially if it was cheaper.
I guess I don't really have much of a, you know, much of a problem with it. I reject the idea that it's somehow going to be more environmentally sound.
It would be.
No, but see, you're doing that thing. You're doing a Dawn right now. This is it. You are pulling a Dawn at this moment. You don't know that that's true. You have no idea.
You're right. I firmly believe it would be because the amount of resources that it takes to create beef, for example,
is resources
huge.
It takes a mother cow and a father cow. Look, I've created beef.
Seriously, Rick?
That's like saying the resource it takes to create a baby. It takes no resources. It takes mommy and daddy hugging each other in a special way in Barry White.
It takes hundreds of gallons of water to, like, grow the grain.
We don't have to create water. Water exists. It's here. We've got everything we need.
And the methane and the... Oh, my God, Rick.
If we've got grass, we got water. Bam. Bada bing. Beef. There we go. All right. Plus, every time we try to fix something with science, we just F the joint up further. You know that's true. I mean, I like how we don't trust man to do anything else except to make our steaks. You go ahead, have at it. All right, is that the end of science?
God, yes.
All right, there you go.
We should end it 5 minutes.
Rick Emerson 6, the end of science. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Don't forget, speaking of science, it's made available to you as a series of ones and zeros later on today via iTunes. Also, in archive form, you can download it to your MP3 player of choice or in your RSS tool, if you like. All that stuff is available at PDX.FM. You can also go to legionofnews.com. Don't forget, the Rick Emerson radio program is coming up at 1 o'clock today. We'll be talking to Mr. Ryan White from the Oregonian. We'll count down his top 5 teenage brooding songs of all time. We have a Taser Watch coming up today. Also a Geek Watch, I believe. Is that the other one?
Corpse Watch.
Corpse Watch coming up. We've also got another installment, The Week in Geek. That's what I'm thinking of. We got The Week in Geek with Mr. Aaron Durant. And then I believe, hold on a second. Oh, we have a Clown Watch. I almost forgot about that. Have I handed that to you?
No, you haven't.
No, because I'm going to read it myself.
Oh,
it's that special. It's one of those. It's one of those stories where it's like how sometimes it's Mitch and Murray, but sometimes you know, it's the guy from downtown. It's Lemkin. He comes and he signs the deal himself when it's important. I'm reading this one myself because it's awesome and because I don't want you to have any foreknowledge of it.
Just want to disturb me.
Also,
and make me unhappy.
Also, I've got this story, and I'm just going to give you the headline: Man kills friend, drinks his blood.
Ooh.
There you go. So that's all coming up at 1 o'clock at the Rick Emerson Show, rickemerson.com.
Perhaps it's a good time to take a little moment to discuss our sponsor.
Here's the thing about that is I suspected that you were about to say that, but I didn't say anything right off because I wanted to see exactly how closely we were going to hew to the show clock.
I was going
to
say, did you suspect it because you had the RIN sheet right in front of you?
Well, it's
like
entirely...
on top of the stack of pages we're looking at?
Look, there's no need to be snarky about things,
Don. Not snarky, you know.
There's no need to be. Baby, don't be like that, sugar. There's no need to be that way.
Gentleman says, ask Rick if I can squirt the Emerson Show to my Zune. I don't know what that means. I mean, I think I know what a Zune is, but.
Well, it means that at least one person somewhere has bought a Zune, so those ads on the front page of my Xbox Live account are a total waste. Well done, sir.
How do you.
Do you really want to know? Are you really
probably
asking?
No.
I can tell you if you're actually asking.
Is it just basically transporting or...
Here, just hold that thought. Let me read this. Don't see, you're doing that thing. You're freaking out.
I'm not freaking out.
Can I confess to everybody that you told me before the show you were having a bit of a day?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, it's out there. Dawn's having a bit of a day. So I think somebody might be in the blood hut this week. I'm just...
What?
I am disgusted. Who said that?
No, I love Chad. You know,
all right. Let's see. Well, let's just. I was attempting to segue real cleverly into my live music bit there, but you know what? That was a little instant karma.
Do not use that as your segue into the cleaning solution.
That's where the universe decided to screw me back just a little bit there.
Do not use lady stuff as a segue. Cleaning products.
I was immediately going to go to my Lenny D music, which I think would have been hilarious. But you know, what can you do? Sometimes things don't work out the way you plan. For example, sometimes you got a tray full of let's say mint juleps, and you are on your way from the kitchen to the home office with the tray of mint juleps because you're going to spend the entire evening, looking at dental floss training films on the net because that's how you roll.
And you just say hanging out with Colonel Angus.
No, well, or that. And so as you were on your way to the home office from the kitchen, you're walking down the hallway, and through no fault of your own, gravity suddenly shifts and then increases, and you are thrown totally off kilter. Your internal gyroscope, your equilibrium is shattered. You pitch forward, and then all the mint juleps right into the carpet. And then you're trying to clean up the mint juleps, but at that moment, the front door rings, and it is, in fact, numerous Jehovah's Witnesses who are there to tell you about the 144,000 who will ascend into heaven with the heavenly host and the seraphim when the great day of judgment arrives. So as you are trying to talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses on the front porch, while thinking about all the mint juleps, which you can't tell the Jehovah's Witnesses about because then they'll know that you're a drunken lush, not that I'm going to tell them that, but I think it would be evident by the fact that you only need one mint julep to serve the net, and you had a whole tray of them. So clearly you're an alcoholic. And then on top of that, as you're hearing the Jehovah's Witnesses talk to you about the 144,000 saved, you hear a horrible retching noise and you realize that your dog has in fact started to drink mint julep straight out of the carpet. And of course the dog system is just not geared for that kind of a thing. And then the next thing you know, the dog is throwing up, and then the kid is throwing up, and then you have no choice but to just walk out the front door and head down the street and get three or four belts in you before you can even go back home to deal with the thing because you don't even have any mint julep to make the situation better. Has this happened to you? If so, you want to contact Michael Beatty at The Cleaning Solution, 971-533-3211, 971-533-3211. You get a stain removal, carpet repairs, upholstery, stone, whatever it is that your feet might touch or that you might get grimy on the floor of your house. They can take care of it. I was actually at somebody's house on Saturday afternoon. I went to a bit of a barbecue, and a woman had just... she was very proud of the tile entryway, which, of course, then by the end of the evening was sullied because some guy, like, spilled a whole thing of guacamole on it. And it's like it gets down to the grout, and it's just like you don't want to clean that. So write down this number. You may need it, 971-533-3211. Residential and commercial cleaning of anything your feet might touch. Michael Beatty at The Cleaning Solution. This is Don Taylor.
I have happy news.
Oh, I'm
so. Do we still have our happy news music? Or
we do now. Do you have a happy news? Did one of those beds strike your fancy? Was there any bed in particular you wanted me to use?
I like the one that sounded kind of French, like a old like a Truffaut movie or whatever.
I believe that may be this one.
That's it. That's happy.
It's time for happy news with Don Taylor. This is Legion of News.
A junior at Jesuit High School achieved a perfect 36 on the ACT college entrance exam this year.
Sacre bleu!
Tulsi Doshi, an accomplished dancer, aced the exam despite spending only a few days preparing for the test. Less than 0.1% score a 36 on the test. We had all these books coming out of our ears that her dad ordered, and she hadn't even touched them, said Hina Doshi, Tulsi's mother. And I'm taking liberties with the copy here because it actually says all these books that her dad ordered and she hadn't even touched him. So
that might also be true. In fact, presumably it is.
At the time, Tulsi Doshi said her time was tied up with her high school courses. Because the ACT is 3 to 4 days after my last final, I only really used those last 3 days of finals to study for the test.
Now let me just back up for a second. What is the ACT? I know it's a thing they put in your toothpaste, but beyond that.
It's an alternative to the SAT. It asks 75 English questions, 60 math questions, 40 reading questions, and 40 science questions.
Why would you take that as opposed to the SAT, do you suppose?
I believe it depends on where you're going.
Do some schools not accept? Some schools prefer the SAT or the ACT?
Yes, I believe so. The average nationwide score is 21.1. Again, less than 0.1% score a perfect 36.
Well, this doesn't make any sense. So she got a The average scores a 21. She got a 36. But it's like in the SAT, you know, they say it's like a 1600 or something. Well, I guess it must be
it's just a different scoring system. And it's a different test with different scoring. And probably more. I think it has a lot more questions on it, too. But anyway. Yay! Tulsi Doshi. I have one more happy news story. A black bear cub in Florida, affectionately known as Jarhead, can finally enjoy a good meal. A clear plastic container was removed from the six-month-old cub's head after being stuck for at least 10 days. The cub poked its head into the jar when digging through trash in a neighborhood in central Florida. Biologists say the cub was days away from death because the jar made it impossible for him to eat or drink. The team had to tranquilize the mother bear and then grab the cub to remove the jar from the bear's head. The subdued mother was then put in a trap and the cubs followed. After she awoke and nursed the cubs, the bears were moved to a less populated area nearby. And there's a picture of the bear with a jar in its head.
Oh, that's adorable. I'm sorry. I guess that's the wrong reaction.
I know. It's like, oh, poor bear. But it's still adorable. There's a jar in its head.
It's cute. Well, no, it's like, you know, I get this. This would be my one and only dog story for the day. And this actually happened a long time ago. But my wife sent me the cutest photo of the dog. Our dog Max, who is sort of evil most of the time, but occasionally that evil takes. Occasionally, because he's tiny what is it, Ron Berger said? Because he's tiny and covered in fur. His evil sort of ends up being amusing. So she came home one day. She sent me this photograph, and she just said, "Max greeted me at the door with a bag on his head." That was the caption. And sure, he had apparently been rummaging around for things that don't belong to him, and he had somehow looped his head through the sort of paper handle on a New Seasons bag. And I don't know how long it had been that way. I'm guessing that the instant we leave the house, it's like he takes out a stepladder and just begins going through the whole place. So I think he'd just been schlepping around the house all day, sadly dragging a New Seasons bag around his, which, you know, and the thing is, you sort of go, oh, that's so sad, except that he's just pure evil. I mean, he's just got a black heart that pumps viscous hate. And so he sort of gets what's coming to him every now and again. And the idea of him just sort of like, and especially if dogs have got a brain like a goldfish.
He looks too adorable and frankly not smart enough to be evil.
No. See, that's how he gets you. That's how Max gets you, because he looks... I know that humans have a tendency to anthropomorphize their pets, but really, I've had him for many years, and I've sussed this out, that he is, in fact, it's not that he's evil so much as he just, he has an advanced case, I believe, of what many dogs have, which is a sort of entitlement, the whole, you know, I own the entire neighborhood, this is all my property, you're merely living here. He's like Leona Helmsley's dog, you know, but without the actual deed. I sort of take it as an article of faith that he's going to smother me as soon as he learns to forge my signature. And then everything will then, in point of fact, belong to him. Philo is the one who's deeply stupid.
Philo is.
Oh, no. Philo's dumb. Philo's a mongoloid. Philo, inside Philo's head, like sometimes I'll sort of picture, you know, like they'll do, like you see those drawings from the 1800s, like those phonologist drawings where they thought they knew exactly what your brain did. And it was like you would see these sort of side diagrams of the human brain. Like this part is, you know, where you know how to churn butter. This part tells you where your buggy whip is kept. This part tells you how to put on spats. This part is, you know, and this part tells you how to be a good husband. And that's like, you know, it's like the lobe in the back or whatever. If you look inside Philo's head, there's just sort of a wheel attached to nothing going around in an endless circle. And it doesn't connect to anything, and there's no other machinery of any kind. It's like one lone gear attached to nothing that just sort of spins with the wind. That's it.
There you go. Here's Dawn Taylor.
Entertainment news.
Time for your entertainment news from Monday on Legion of News right here.
Tila Tequila says audience members pelted her with stones and feces at the gathering of the Juggalos.
You can't read this story. This is the Clown Watch.
Oh, okay.
Damn you. Damn you, Dawn Taylor!
Well, I don't count the insane clown posse as actual clowns.
They're dressed as clowns. Why aren't they clowns?
Well, they're not real clowns.
Let me ask you this. What does a real what makes a real clown? What is clownery?
A real clown isn't.
Are you telling me they're not clowns because they're evil?
No. Oh no, all clowns are
evil.
So they're not clowns because they're musicians. And they're just pretending to be clowns.
Wait, so if I get a clown,
effect.
Hold on, if I get a clown off the street and I give him a guitar, is he no longer a clown? Aha! J'accuse!
The Insane Clown Posse are not actual clowns any more than that guy in Kiss is really a cat.
Well, I don't. I think you're drawing a false comparison. I think your rhetorical skills are perhaps...
And they're not insane.
And
they're not actually a posse.
I think your rhetoric foo is weak.
They're none of those things. Anyway. Okay, well, I'll leave that for next hour, right, then. We won't talk about that. I just thought the Legion of News people would... I'm just going to say Tila Tequila feces.
I'm just saying.
Actor Mel Gibson was unhurt after a single car crash in Malibu Sunday night. It happened about 8:35 p.m. while Gibson was driving his 2008 Maserati southbound on Malibu Canyon Road.
Are we entirely sure this wasn't the fault of Jews? I mean, have we really...
Oh, it had to be Jews.
...definitively ruled it out?
It's all about the Jews.
All right, okay.
For unknown reasons, Jews, Mr. Gibson steered his car to the right and struck a rock hillside, according to the official report. He stopped his car at the scene and was contacted by officers, probably Jewish officers, from the West Valley CHP area. His Maserati had to be towed from the scene, and he received a ride home from a friend. Gibson told officers he didn't know how the car drifted into the hillside. Officers say the actor did not have a cell phone and wasn't sure if he dozed off. He simply said he didn't know how the accident happened.
It's weird how pop culture sort of just, how the globe turns, because it's not that we have forgotten who Mel Gibson is, but it's like we've all just decided to take about a two-week break from that story. You know, like we all just kind of went, I got to go walk outside for a second, get some air. And like we'll get back to him whenever more of those like nutcase tapes, from his wife, who may or may not be crazy, but that sort of notwithstanding, he's sort of demonstrably nuts.
Yeah.
But it's almost like a spicy meal on which, you just, like, you have one helping too many of chicken tikka masala or something. And you just say, like, oh, man, no, I just, give me a second. I just go walk. I get some water. So I'll come back. I'll finish this. No. Don't put it away. No. I'll eat it. I'll be back. I got to get some milk or something. That's what the Gibson story is. So I feel like in about 10 days, we're going to come back and we're just going to find, like, there's going to be video of him just putting, like, badgers through a wood chipper or something with, like, a maniacal grin on his face. What are you doing? Nothing. And then he'll cackle. Whatever.
Director James Cameron says he'll celebrate his 56th birthday today deep beneath Russia's Lake Baikal. Cameron will be in a submersible about 5,200 feet from the surface of the world's oldest and deepest freshwater lake. Unless it's bad weather, he says, in which case I'll be getting drunk with the Russian crew in the port.
I love James Cameron.
A longtime ocean enthusiast, Cameron has other underwater projects in the works. He says he's building a submarine in Australia that will take him 36,000 feet underwater. He's also developing an upgraded 3D underwater camera and has plans for an underwater feature film that he said he might make before taking on an Avatar sequel.
Well, because, no. See, I heard that the underwater film was the Avatar sequel, and I'm not just saying that, like, I know, and I'm not people who knows people. I'm just saying that was the story, is that... Because unless I'm remembering it incorrectly, and I might be because it was terrible, I don't think there's nothing really underwater that happens in Avatar, right? So you got to figure if his whole thing is, and you have to give it up for the having vision in the sense that they did that whole thing of like hiring botanists and zoologists to like make up all the living things on Pandora like from scratch or whatever. So you got to figure that. He probably at home on some, just like my sister used to have a poster of Middle Earth on her wall. He probably has the whole like underwater ecosystem of that planet all panned out. He's going to do that at some point. So
because he's crazy.
Yeah, well, no, because he's James Cameron. Yeah. He can do whatever the F he wants.
It's also the birthday of Aaron Geek in the City's wife, Jen. So happy birthday to you. Also today, Julie Newmar is 77. Country singer Billy Joe Shaver is 71. Angela Bassett's 52. Local boy Timothy Hutton, star of Leverage, is 50. And Steve Carell is 57. And Madonna is 52. Steve Carell.
This is all true. All right. I was going to make one final comment about James Cameron. What is it? He ought to just buy himself a small country for his birthday. I mean, or a mid-sized country. I mean, he could probably afford either.
Well, he's spending all that money on building his own submarine. So, that's pricey.
You know, here's the thing about James. However bad Avatar was, and it wasn't good. Let's have no illusions about that. It's just impossible for me to dislike him. I don't think he could come to my house and set fire to my car while whizzing on my rose bushes and leave, and I'd just be like, well, what are you going to do? Because he's just I would have a torrid affair with James Cameron, except I know he would just break my heart in the end. I know he would just he'd just leave me bereft and alone. I'm just saying. All right. Are we ending this?
We are ending this.
Let's end this right now, shall we? Fantastic. Legion of News, brought to you each and every weekday by PDX.fm, and it originates from the studios of the Emerson News Network. At the news desk is Dawn Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill. Executive producer Bruce Agler and Chief of Staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show begins next at rickemerson.com. This has been another exciting episode of
Legion of News on PDX.fm.